One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the New to Pew podcast. My name is Max Fallis. Give it up for me, goddammit. Thank you for downloading this little bit of data, zeros and ones we call the New to Pew podcast. And when I say we, well,
who the fuck is that guy?
I mean, that is the one and only BBR Bagman. Give it up for him, goddammit. Sir, how are you?
Feeling pretty good. I've had a little rain time this weekend with my dear friend, Max Fallis. So, what's not to like?
Downrange with the Fallis is a new segment here, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for that. No, really, though. So, this is our first official product review, bro. This is big stuff. Not only are we 28 episodes into this project, we got a review. We're awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. So, this is the Grey Ghost Precision full-size combat pistol in their graphite gray that I won.
Give it up for you, goddammit, for winning contests. Sliding your name on your ballot box and coming out a winner.
Yeah, the only thing cooler than a new gun is a new gun you got for free. So, can't go wrong there.
People really do win on contests. Shout out to Grey Ghosts. So, you know, we should have actually talked about how we're going to formulate a review, but let me guide you
through this process as somebody who's done this a few times before. Why don't we give the audience a basic rundown of the specifications?
Okay.
So this is the GGB Combat full-size pistol in 9mm.
Wait, I thought so it was combat pistol. Compact.
What did I say?
You said
combat pistol.
Combat, not yes. Compact.
Combat, correct.
Let me get the whiskey out of my ears. Pardon me.
Or, you know, rub a little more in there and clear it out. So this is full size. This is the equivalent of, say, like a Glock 17 or 22. 9mm precision machine slide, machined from 17-4 billet stainless steel with tighter tolerances than a factory slide. Critical. So the big thing is the tolerances are really tight. That's what GGP is known for. They're 3/1000ths of an inch as far as their critical dimensions held to plus or minus 3/1000ths of an inch. Black nitride coated inside and out, milled and tapped for dual optic compatibility, G10 cover plate with screws included, and it actually came with two different cover plates for that that optic slot. It says it's not compatible with Vortex or Burris, which is fine because I'm not a big fan of Vortex myself. Enhanced grip, high strength reinforced polymer, a 107.50 degree grip angle, similar to the 1911. Unique GGP grip texture. And if you look at this, yeah, the stippling is like a square pattern, but the square is made of the letters GGP. So that's kind of a fancy little thing. Extended beaver tail, accelerator cut, double undercut trigger guard, full-length Stanag Picatinny rail designed to be in line with the bore. And the frame is available in black, cobalt gray, and flat dark earth colors. Mine was cobalt gray because it's my favorite color. match grade barrel is 4.5 inches long. 416R gun barrel quality stainless steel. Sammy Spec 9mm match chamber. Black nitride finish. Again, tolerances to 3/1000ths of an inch. Improved controls. So the two that stick out, because it's all this has, are the extended magazine release and extended slide stop lever. So if you're familiar with Glocks, this is very similar to the Glock extended slide stop, not some of the really big aftermarket ones. It also includes a custom soft case. It came with three of the Magpul 17 round Glock 17 type magazines. The case is pretty decent. It's a nice little, it's compact, holds everything together. It was pretty good. Let's see. Compatible with Gen 3 components and Poly 80 style accessories, i.e. magwells and holsters. So this is based on a Polymer 80 frame, and it's kind of a flagship product as far as all the fancy bells and whistles that would come on Grey Ghost Precision stuff. What it does not mention here is the trigger, and I'm trying to see if I can find the details on that real quick, because that was something else that was kind of cool. So I'm not finding the information, but it's a flat face Glock style trigger. I didn't put it on a trigger scale. I should probably do that, but I would say it's probably about 3.5 pounds, 4 pounds. It's not quite as heavy as a regular Glock trigger. So again, very Glock-ish without being a Glock.
You have a scale to measure the trigger pull?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
You want me to grab that real quick?
No, something tells me I think I see how it would work. What do you... It measures...
So it's... Yeah, as you pull it, and there's a little slider that it's going to push, and then when it breaks, it's going to release, and you'll see where the highest point of that was. Same thing. Similar to what you would use to, like, weigh a tank or whatever.
Right. So...
So the sights on this are from a company called Night Vision? Looks okay. Like I'm having trouble. It's not super bright in here, but the sights really are. So large dot on the front sight, and then the illuminated front and rear sights using what I'm assuming is some sort of radioactive substance to glow in the dark.
That was one of the first things I
noticed. Tritium or whatever.
Was I loved the sights. I mm-hmm. absolutely, especially coming from my small, low-profile 1911 sights, like, ooh, Jesus, that was literally like having an easy pass versus going through the toll lane and having to wait in line to put money in.
Yeah, it's easy mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really big. They're really quick to pick up, especially for old guys who wear glasses like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really easy going as far as that goes.
One of the things that kind of alerted to me to something that I have not been concentrating on is getting the sights flat mm-hmm. as far as the up and down. Because with my current concentration is just getting the trigger profile, getting the sight profile, focusing on the front sight, and acquiring that front sight from a low ready kind of practice. I haven't even right. gotten to, okay, now it's got to be level. But popping that thing up really made, number one, it reminded me, oh, you got something else to work on too with your sights. And then it's like, shit, look how easy this is with just this big square in the middle with that circle in the middle. Like, I love the sights on this thing. And that was the first thing I noticed about my wife's SR22 was the dramatic difference in sights. So I don't think mm-hmm. I'm missing out, but I can see how those kind of sights are really, really enjoyable by people.
So again, it's those sights are more for being able to pick it up quickly and easily, right? Where your mm-hmm. sights are a little more precise. They're also smaller. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the notch in the rear sight, that's also smaller. So you don't necessarily have to think about the height of your front sight as much where you do with these, because it's much bigger and more open and all those things. And we had that conversation at the range, like I was giving you guidance on making little adjustments as you were shooting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the idea is that this is supposed to be fast. You know, if you're fighting with this, you want to be able to get on those sights really quickly. Mm-hmm. And what I call not necessarily precision shooting, where you're not bullseye shooting, but you're shooting instead of minute of angle, minute of asshole. As long as you're hitting the guy, those are good hits. Mm-hmm. So where you might not have to be super precise like you are with target shooting. So it's a little bit faster to pick up. Yours are a little more precise, where these are going to be a little bit looser as far as what your grouping is going to look like. Now, I'm sure there's people, I'm not one of them, I'm not a great handgunner by any stretch, but I'm sure there's people that can shoot this and put, you know, 20 rounds through one ragged hole. Mm-hmm. That ain't me. And that's not necessarily what this is intended for.
Okay. The going back to the aesthetics of it, it mm-hmm. definitely has the Glock look. I zoomed in on the handguard or the grip to really admire the GGP that's in the square. It reminds me of the GameCube for all my video yes. game guys around here. it's kind of a GameCube logo, even though it's not a GameCube logo, but it's
a little bit of that aesthetic.
And so comparing this to my 1911, I don't want to say it's apples and oranges, but the first thing you notice is the lighter weight. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I noticed was, I know we're going to get to the issue that you were having, but just the grip, it felt like I was holding plastic, as opposed to like the, yeah, like I could feel the difference.
Yes.
Being at this heavy clunker is my reference point. Everything else should be lighter until I get my Desert Eagle. But like it was, it's almost like when somebody takes all the groceries out the bag while you're holding them, your arm just shoots right up. So
when you pick up the empty suitcase that you think is full, and for a
exactly.
second, you think,
oh my goodness, I'm so strong.
Like, whoa. Oh no, it's empty. Never mind.
Yeah. So from the new to pube aspect of it, I could really feel the difference between the two handguns.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's because they're not different base, but I don't know if it's fundamentally different, but it's two classes of guns as far as I'm concerned. Like,
sure.
The
you're using an all metal frame and this is a polymer frame. They're right there. That's going to be two dramatically different feels because of the massive amount of weight reduction. The grip angle, because the grip angle is different from a traditional Glock grip angle, this is more similar to your 1911 grip angle. Mm-hmm. So that should have been kind of familiar as far as like where your natural pointing position is, mm-hmm. and how your sights line up. That should have felt fairly familiar, right? And you notice I didn't have a problem going back and forth between the two guns, where if I brought, you know, we'll have to do this experiment next time, is I'll bring a regular Glock for you to compare to a 1911. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to bring a 1911 and 45 ACP and let you experience the difference between like your 9mm and the 45. So grip angle is the same, weight is going to be very different. The other thing is this is a striker fired pistol, mm-hmm. so it uses a different firing mechanism that's more like a releasing spring, where yours has the actual hammer swinging forward and hitting a firing pin. This is more like a mouse trap internally. So that's a little bit different because that can affect how the trigger feels. You've also got a really big first stage on a striker fire pistol compared to a 1911 on the trigger. So there's a lot more take up before you hit the wall.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I absolutely did. And the first couple of times was, it's like driving somebody else's stick shift car. You got to find the clutch and,
yeah.
and know like where it is, because that's another thing that I've been working on, is finding the trigger wall and then pulling past it just to be able to identify the two. And mm-hmm. the first couple of times, especially after you explained to me how the trigger is different on this with the, you know, the trigger safety as opposed to the grip safety that I have on my 1911. So mm-hmm. while I was thinking about that, I'm trying to find the wall, and it's in another state compared yeah. to my 1911.
Comparatively, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
All the way.
You've got like a 16th of an inch of creep on your trigger before you're there, and yep. then you're firing the gun. Where this one, you've got, you know, a quarter inch, and then your brake and your pull. Yeah, that's a good analogy though, having to find the clutch, that because it's a very different feel.
It wasn't, for as far as a trigger goes, it wasn't a like or dislike, it was just finding it again, and it felt right. like I had to pull a lot further with the Ghost than I do have with the 1911 to actually
correct.
Fire. Yeah.
Correct. And that's true of a Glock too. You're going to have much more take up before you hit your second stage of the trigger. If I can, we'll get you on the range with a H&K USP.
Okay.
Cause you want to talk about your take up taking you from one side of the country to the other before the gun fires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long walk.
We got to fill up the gas tank before we actually hit the wall. So
you better have a bus pass and a train ticket. And yeah.
So that feel is mm-hmm. almost Glock standard, or is that just trigger that similar trigger itself?
Similar. Yeah. Okay. Generally, striker fired triggers are similar to that. Some of them are a little bit better. Some of them are considerably worse. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty decent one. So we had talked about the trigger safety before we went to the range, and I sent you like little videos and stuff kind of showing you how it works. And I told you, you're not even going to think about it when you're doing it. Did you notice it, or did you just kind of pick up the gun and go, yeah, okay, I can shoot this?
I noticed it visually, but not with my big clunky fucking mittens. So, right. Like, my finger didn't feel it. I did like, I'm assuming it's called the double cutaway underneath the trigger. So it's like, whoop, whoop. That's a double cutaway.
Yeah.
It helped the mittens get into place with the...
So, and that's exactly what that's for, is normally this is straight all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to kind of get higher purchase on the gun so that you're more in line with the trigger. Because if I'm forced to grip it down here, now I'm pitching my hand this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that kind of came to be, was to get that up higher. And that's a fairly common modification people will do, even on traditional Glocks, is they'll undercut the trigger, at least in that one spot, if not.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one, I don't see as much. This is, I feel like, more of an aesthetic thing.
Yeah, but the picture on the website,
really,
the picture on their website in the brown finish, it looks like it's more than the one you have physically in front of you. Yeah, it's more of a
right.
It looks a lot.
I think that some of that's probably just the color. I don't know that it's really any different. But that's what I'm saying. This is a double stack with 17 round magazines. Yeah, it's a polymer frame, so they can kind of keep it slim. But I feel like this would be the same as, if not a little bit thicker than your 1911.
Okay. How did you feel about the buttons? So mag release and slide lock release.
So, it again, I'm not super refined when it comes to pistols. And to be quite frank, I bought a Glock because I don't give a shit about handguns.
Okay.
So that, like, this is really my first foray into this fancy kind of upgraded, tricked out Honda Civic of firearms. I've heard other people talk about how important it is to have the extended mag release. I've also heard people talk about how stupid it is to have an extended mag release that may cause you to drop your mag when you don't intend to. It's not in the way for me when I'm shooting, so it kind of doesn't, it's not a critical thing for me, because my hands are also of a size where I can reach everything fairly easily. It's not a game changer for me there either, that like, oh, this is so much easier for me to reach because I don't have a problem reaching the standard one. What I will note is the slide stop, the extended slide stop being extended just that little bit is nice compared to my regular one. Cause I didn't do any modifications to my 22. So this extra little bit is pretty nice because I can't do that on my Glock.
Really?
Yeah. It's so little that I can't hit it to release it that way.
So it's almost
unless
flush? See, that's comparing it to my 1911. I love the plank of a switch that I have to release slide lock, and it's just like so. And again, I'm so used to picking up that thing and slide lock and slide lock and slide. So I appreciate the extended version that you had on this. I can't imagine how hard it is without that, though, because...
Yeah, like I said, I can't do it. I can't, you know, and really, it's a slide stop, not a slide release. So to push it up, to lock the slide open, not a big deal. But to try to release the slide that way, I can't do it. So I just got in the habit of running the slide, you know, instead of trying to hit this little button that's so hard, I just slingshot it, and I'm back in the game that way. Manual of arms is going to vary from firearm to firearm anyway, so to me that wasn't a big deal. But again, it's certainly nicer than what comes from the factory from the other manufacturer. So this is definitely an upgrade in every single way. The slide has pretty crazy, like, H.R. Geiger cuts and serrations, and it's real funky looking. Yeah, this gun's way too cool for me. That's really the problem.
Well, you need to step your game up.
I need to, you're telling me now at my age I need to learn to be cool? I think it's too late. Minor detail that I really like is it's not really what I would call a ramp here. You know, some of them, they'll add like a real like paddle up front here.
Okay.
So you've got a thumb ramp for your support hand. But right where the takedown lever is this little bit, and I don't know if you can see it on my camera, or it might be easier to see it. Yeah, right there. So that's when I'm not shooting and I'm just resting my finger on the side of the frame, that's a nice spot to index the firearm. And as far as like thumb placement with your offhand, same kind of thing. It's not dramatic, but it's just a little sensory feedback that like, okay, I'm in the right place on this gun that I really appreciate. Little things like that, probably more than the big stuff.
The slide with those, I don't know, perforations or indentations.
Serrations.
There you go, serrations. Mm-hmm. All kinds of Asians. Compared to your Glock, is your Glock smooth?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's got very basic vertical serrations on it.
Mm-hmm.
And been so long, I'm not even sure if... No, I don't think I have front slide serrations on that. No. Just the rear ones. And then I'm thinking of one of my other 1911s that has the front slide serrations. Mm-hmm. So for this to have... It's basically serrated front to back. Like there's a small space on the opposite side of the ejection port where it's not, but you can pretty much grip this anywhere and manipulate it like any way you want. If you're going to press check or, you know, thumb over, pinch grip, whatever, you can manipulate this thing pretty easily.
Are those considered large serrations? Cause like they look aesthetically looking at it, it looks very prominent. It looks like it's speed bumps to help you grab and pull. Is that?
Yeah. I would call these really large serrations. I mean, okay. It's and again, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I would have sought out, but having taken this to the range and had a proper fondle with it, definitely something I like.
I dug it. It felt good racking it back.
I might start liking cool guns after all.
There you go. See, ladies and gentlemen, the Bagman is stepping his game up. Okay?
Oh, no.
The old dog's trying new tricks. And he's shooting 9 out of a Glock. Soon he'll have a 9mm 1911, and all will be right in the universe.
So as far as shooting it, accuracy was certainly what I expected from this kind of pistol.
Mm-hmm.
The gun certainly did its job. I'm, again, not a great handgunner, but at 21 feet, we were getting consistent fist size groups, both of us, right out of the box. Some of the other things we ran into, I guess we could talk about, but as far as the accuracy of it, yeah, that's my basic pistol standard. 21 feet, I want to be able to shoot a fist size group. And I know that's not tremendous marksmanship by any stretch when it comes to handgunning, and hopefully there's people listening to this going, dude, you suck.
They're also telling you to step your game up, Bagman. Let's go. It's 2023, son.
You sure? Sure.
So shooting it.
Sure.
Right? Comparing it to the 1911, I guess because it's the polymer body, I felt every shot that come out of that thing.
Okay.
And the best way I can call it is sympathetic vibrations. I could feel the explosion vibrating through the firearm. It wasn't like crazy, not like hitting a bat, you know, an aluminum bat or nothing like that, but I could feel it. Whereas in my 1911, and this is not a knock, this is just how I'm wording it, it felt more shock absorbing on my 1911 than on this one. And I'm assuming it's because of the lightweight and the materials.
That's exactly it. And what you're describing is the actual recoil of the firearm, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, like you said, is eaten by your 1911 because it's a heavier metal frame. So to go from shooting that to shooting this, it's going to come as a shock. Conversely, you shoot this for a little bit and then you pick up your 1911. You're like, oh, this is so soft shooting in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Same ammunition, same general barrel length, same, you know, mode of operation. Shouldn't be that dramatic a difference, but that weight certainly does affect the feel of it for the end user. So, and again, since we're framing this for folks that are new to Pew, a heavier gun may actually be easier for you to shoot if you're a beginner because of that.
Yeah.
You have to do less work managing recoil with a heavier gun than you do with a lighter gun.
So it was a bit of an adjustment to get over all the things that I've listed. The 5 mile hike for the trigger, and then feeling all, please, to Grigos, I'm just kind of exaggerating for comedic and entertainment value. I'm not really trying to shit on your product. Between the trigger distance and the right. reverberating sympathetic vibrations, it was a big adjustment going from one to the other. But again, you know, we like to learn new tricks here, and this is the world of firearms, and I'm so used and grounded to the one thing that I've been picking up every day. You know, it was fun to shoot it. I'll be honest with you. I liked the squared Glock look. It definitely helps targeting with a square as opposed to something a bit more contoured like my 1911 is with tiny sights. Mm-hmm. So it was almost, if I had to like do one of those bar graph things, what it lacked in some stuff, it made up in other stuff. So it was a balanced experience.
Right. Yeah, your power matrix is shaped different for this than it is for your 1911. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And when we had the situation that you were about to start talking about, like I could feel that in the grip.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I told you, like, I can feel when it happens. And then having the large trigger distance, it took a minute to say, okay, yep, it happened because of the large trigger distance.
Right.
So tell the people what happened.
So I guess the other thing is there's, because it's so new and because it's such tight tolerances, there is a break-in period for this. And we went to the range. I didn't have any 9mm in the house because I don't shoot a lot of 9mm. I've got a bunch of other calibers. So I bought two $30 boxes of 115 grain 9mm that should only be about $10 from the range. And we took that out and put 100 rounds of 115 grain through this. And probably a third of them had hiccups and jams and malfunctions of some sort. And I'm blaming that on a couple of things. So one, light bullet weight, right? I much prefer 124s over 115s because I find that you get a little bit better back pressure and that helps the firearm cycle better. That's just across the board. Two, this is a brand new tight tolerance pistol built on a polymer 80 frame. So there's a combination of tight tolerances on the fit of the slide to the rails. There's the combination of, I don't know what their process is for putting these polymer frames together. So I think there could be a little bit of flashing or extra material that has to get worked off. And you and I both noticed that while shooting it, I was getting little flakes of stuff coming off on my hand, whether that was out of the slide or from the frame, whatever, not a big deal, but that was causing the gun to not go back in the battery. The other thing, I kind of feel like this has a really soft recoil spring in it, and it may do better with a stiffer recoil spring. So I'll have to look for a Gen 3 type recoil spring that's going to be a little bit stiffer than this, compensating for all of those things. So gripping the gun really tightly, making sure you're using that dynamic tension of push-pull, helped keep the gun in line so that it's not coming off its bore axis as the slide is cycling. So if it gets that really good, clean, straight path of travel, that loss of energy doesn't happen as much. What specifically we were having was as the slide would come forward, it would catch just short of going back into battery.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sometimes that was really tight. When you were shooting it, I was able to just kind of tap it with my finger and get it to close. It didn't require a lot of force. It was like just falling short. Mm-hmm. I had a few failure to feeds where the round didn't go all the way in and it was stopped probably about halfway. And again, just a little tap on the back of the slide and it closed right up and went back to running. Once we switched to the 124s, a lot of that went away and it got a lot better. So you had a couple of boxes of 124 grain 9mm with you. That seemed to dramatically improve that. So bullet weight, break-in period, I think this thing's going to be really good once I get another 100, 150 rounds through it. Brought it home and cleaned it, lubricated it with the grease from Tetragon that I really like. So hopefully that'll help help the action as far as the slide goes. Yeah, but once we got it, once we got her going, she ran pretty well. And again, that's not getting it dirty or really putting it through its paces. It's just kind of, you know, it's a lazy trip at the range.
Is there any difference in a standard Glock and this as far as breakdown, tear down, and cleaning?
So, no.
Okay.
Basic disassembly is going to be exactly the same as a traditional Glock. So you want to make sure it's unloaded, magazine is out. Manually and visually inspect your chamber to make sure there's nothing in there. You're going to let the slide forward and then pull the trigger because you have to decock the firearm. And that's the only way to do this. So from there, you're going to go to about back that far, just a hair, and then pull the tabs down and the slide comes right off. And then you can just lift out the spring and the barrel.
That's the spring there.
Scrub it all down. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very similar to a Glock as far as, you know, the type of action it uses, the safeties involved, all those things. Mm-hmm. This is for all intents and purposes, a far upgraded version of that.
Now, you bought your Glock for everyday carry?
I bought my Glock for everything.
Okay.
That was kind of the point of it. Was I was already a certified firearms instructor at that point. Never did any handgunning per se. And I had a lot of people coming to me and saying, well, you're a good firearms instructor. Why aren't you teaching handgun? I go, because I don't shoot handgun. Mm-hmm. I'm a rifle and shotgun guy. I'm like, well, if you get into handgun, let me know. I'd like to learn the basics from you there too. So kind of learned it specifically for the purpose of teaching it, which I'll admit is not great. I think the pistol instructors that are passionate about it and really into it are far better instructors in that than I am. And I'm happy to hand students off to other instructors at any point. With that said, I bought my handgun right about the time Sandy Hook happened. Mm-hmm. So prices were inflated because of that. There was all kinds of stuff going on. Ammunition was in short supply. 9mm was absurd, kind of like it is now. And I went with a 40 Smith & Wesson because the price was not fluctuating nearly as much. So when 9mm went from $8 a box to $40 a box, 40 Smith & Wesson went from $12.99 to $14. So there was not a dramatic shift there in the price of ammunition at that time. And yeah, it was basic pistol marksmanship, wanted something that I could carry, wanted something that would kind of fit the bill for a little bit of everything. And that's what I got. It's not great at anything in particular, but it's okay at everything. It's kind of the jack of all trades.
Keep referencing and calling it the Honda Civic. Which,
yeah,
you got to be of a certain age at this point because I don't know if the Civic's reputation for being the just end-all generic, good at everything, not great at anything kind of car. I don't know if that's still the reputation, but back in my day, like,
right,
the Honda Civic was, you know, a great beater car and it lasted generations.
So, sure. And, yeah. But there were guys that like started tuning them and tweaking them and adding aftermarket parts and doing all kinds of stuff to them. And I think that's been true of the Glock too, that, you know, the guy who's got the giant wing and the crazy paint job on his Honda Civic probably shoots a tricked out Glock too. And this is somewhere along those lines with more of a combat mindset to it.
Okay.
But using high end parts as far as the Grey Ghost precision goes. So it's an interesting combination of those two concepts.
Market wise and price wise, is it priced comparable to a Glock, or is it more expensive?
It's about three times the price of a Glock. This is $1,499.
Okay.
Where Glock is usually $500 to $550.
Oh wow!
You know, crazy prices notwithstanding.
Right.
Again, because it's Glock, and because it's ubiquitous in the marketplace, it's one of the things that can go up dramatically when they're in short supply.
Okay. My final question to you, sir, is where do you see this on the market for in the firearms market? Is this like mid-tier, would you say, being that it has such a three times price point?
Yeah, well, see, that's hard for me to judge because for me, this would be a fairly high-end gun, but then you've got people that are spending $3,000-$4,000
okay
on, you know, revolvers and 1911s and even higher than that. Yeah. So people who hate Glocks and are much more gun snobbish than I am are probably going to look at this and go, okay, it's just three times as expensive. It's not really anything better. Mm-hmm. So it should still be, to them, a low-grade firearm. To me, this is a pretty high-end. If you're looking at a Glock and you want to compare what I would say is apples to apples, this is going to be pretty high-end. Price point is not insane. Mm-hmm. You know, $1,500 is not crazy money for a handgun, but it's pretty high, right? I think anything over $1,000 is pretty high. I think as a flagship product for Grey Ghost Precision, which is really what this is, they want to showcase all the products they make in one place. So you can buy the frame, you can buy the slide, you can buy the barrel, you can buy all the components from them, and they went, well, let's put it all together, and now you've got it all in one place. So you might not not buy this, but you may end up with this because you're going to buy their frame and then you'll buy a cheaper slide and you'll put the gun together and you'll shoot it for a little while and you go, okay, well, now I want to upgrade that, and you go back to Grey Ghost Precision and you buy their slide kit, or you know, you decide you're going to upgrade the barrel in your standard Glock and you buy their upgraded barrel, and you're gonna end up pretty close to this anyway. So yeah, I don't see, even on Grey Ghost page, like I went and looked at their Instagram, you don't see this out there a whole lot. Even when you search like the hashtags and stuff, you'll see a lot of their customers using these components, not necessarily together. So they didn't buy this gun, but they bought this frame and then built out a gun. They bought a different frame and then bought this slide and barrel combo and put that on it. So as far as that goes, I think this thing is pretty cool, right? I'm not getting rid of it, that's for sure. I already ordered a holster for it from Mission First Tactical. I'm going to try carrying it a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to try carrying it for a little bit, see how I like it that way. I may drag it out to an IDPA match if I can find 10-round mags to shoot it in Jersey. I think it would be really good as a suppressor host. You know, you put a threaded barrel on this and put a can on it, and I think that would work really well because it's already got the RMR cut. I'm shopping for optics. That'll be my first foray into the pistol mounted optic.
So it's up on the top, the little Allen key screws that I'm seeing there.
Yep. Okay. You got two Allen keys there, and then this whole plate will come out and you'll be able to mount a small red dot there.
Oh shit. That's cool.
And you want to, yeah. So I haven't shot them enough to get comfortable with it, but everybody who's into it is like, yeah, you want to shoot a handgun in easy mode, put a red dot on it and just,
yeah.
Enjoy yourself. So, you know, again, I'm not super deep into the handgun side of the firearms world, but this may drag me a little deeper. This may be the thing that gets me going down that part of the rabbit hole. So thank you to Grey Ghost Precision for, you know, for this, because I want it in their little in their contest, and I was super excited about it and kind of didn't believe the email when it came. I had to do a little homework to make sure it wasn't a scam.
You had to send a couple dollars to Nigeria to, you know, to cover the shipping.
Yeah, well.
That's awesome.
So yeah, yeah. So super excited about it. Really enjoyed it. You know, now I'm shopping for 9mm ammo so I can shoot the shit out of it. Because I really don't feel like I know the gun until I've got about 1,000 rounds through it.
Just looking at the rail in the front, I'm assuming they make small lights to fit that spacing.
Yeah.
Because the one issue I'm having with my wife's SR-22 is her rail, I think, is even shorter than that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you probably have like one or two slots, and that's about it.
I think there's like one flashlight that may fit without going over the barrel as far as length. So, but that's a standard Glock size rail.
No. So this, to me, this is better. This is an actual Picatinny rail.
Okay.
So this is compatible with a lot more stuff. Glock makes a proprietary rail that you can only use. Now, again, it's Glock. There's enough of them out there. It's not hard to do.
Right.
But this is a lot easier. You can mount just about anything on here. And if you wanted to SBR this, you could put a vertical grip on there too and be like, bah. Just really do dumb stuff. Don't do that without a tax stamp, boys and girls. The ATF will come shoot your dog.
Come on with the pistol plate, nigga.
A man got to have a code.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just trying to warn the people.
I appreciate that, and so do the listeners. But what the listeners really appreciate is those wonderful discount codes you have from the sponsors, which I'm going to give you a second to get yourself ready to give us a code, sir.
Well, as of today, I spoke with Ian over at Stuff and Things, and he asked, or he agreed that he thought it would be a good idea to be a full-time sponsor of the New to Pew podcast. So every single episode, you're going to hear the name Stuffin' Things and the website stinkusa.com and the coupon code NEW2PEW to get your discount off of everything at their website. Super exciting. Very proud to have them on as a sponsor, and really enjoying the fact that they appreciate all that you do, Max.
Well, what I do is I talk to you, sir, and I get the information from you, sir. And I add goofy sound effects and movie quotes that certain listeners don't really like.
Nice. Well, apparently Ian likes it, so we're good with Ian and Will.
Thanks,
but yeah, you'll hear that every episode. And then the other one is brand new, and I will give you a link. Yeah, J5 Rescue has a bunch of not only tactical gear, but medical gear as well. They have really tremendous prices. There is a sale right now on the Cat T tourniquet, which was the first one approved by TCCC. That and the Soft T, which is the Special Operations tourniquet. But the Cat T is the preferred one that Doc and I have mentioned forever at this point. Easy to use, very straightforward design. It's now in its fifth or sixth iteration. As far as minor tweaks to improve the product to make it easier to use in the event of an emergency, those are on sale right now. So if you get the black one, I believe it's only $25. Use the link in the show notes. So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.